भारत सरकार के नियमों के अनुसार 700 से अधिक उत्पाद जैसे ज्वेलरी, टॉयज, हेलमेट, इलेक्ट्रॉनिक्स इत्यादि ऐसे हैं जिनके निर्माण, आयात या सेल के लिए BIS मानक चिन्ह आवश्यक है। एक जागरूक ग्राहक बनिए, किसी भी प्रोडक्ट को खरीदते वक्त उस पर BIS मानक चिन्ह जरूर देखें और उस प्रोडक्ट की प्रामाणिकता जांचने के लिए आज ही डाउनलोड करें BIS केयर ऐप।
What could you expect from a nasty mom, you might think? Mean comments, sarcastic humor, dark jokes perhaps? Well, no need to answer that because, I mean, really, I probably don't even care. Being a single mom in the city to a willful 7-year-old has given me the best perspective of life so far. Really, like, you're never able to eat candy alone, right? Your kid catches it, the slightest sound of the wrapper, and she's up and about. She knows I'm eating candy. To being told what kind of a mother goes on dates leaving the child at home. I mean, as long as you're working and sitting at home and looking after your child, all's well, right? But the minute you go on a date, you become a bad mother. I have a roster of such cliches that I deal with on a daily basis. Join me as I navigate life with a daughter, a hamster, a cat, and my stay-at-home help, Lipsy, without whom I would not be able to live my life. I promise you conversations that are absolute nuts, okay? But they'll be insightful, they'll be fun. Join me, Jasleen Kaur Gupta, only on One Nasty Mom. Who says I'm all that nasty, huh?
Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of One Nasty Mom. Today I'll be talking about 5 old school dating tips you will never go wrong with. I was married for a good part of my young years, but before marriage, I had my share of boys in dating. It's not like we didn't back then. Cut to 12 years later, when I looked at what dating had become, I had a mini heart attack. It was partly due to my high cholesterol, of course, but I was not ready to leave behind the old school romance that was about yearning, love greeting cards, missed calls on the landline, stolen kisses, a first and second bases, and lots of hand holding. Like, it's insane how we went for months just holding hands and nothing else. Slow, simple, old school romance that is all heart. Nothing prepared me for a maze of fuckboys, narcissists, ghosting, love bombing, breadcrumbing, and so on. Well, that in itself is a whole different topic that I perhaps will cover in another podcast. I only want to talk about the 5 old school ways of doing things. Maybe someone listens and brings it back in fashion. Here's to a very hopeful 2024. Dating tip number 1. Staying in touch is sexy. I don't know who propagated this hard to get theory, but it kind of gets boring very quickly. It may give you the initial interest and the other person anxiety, but it's a trick that doesn't take you anywhere. Besides a temporary ego boost, there will very quickly be a need to move on to the next one. Staying in touch, on the other hand, is a love language that that is safe, caring, and will have the other person literally eating out of your hand because it's so refreshingly different, albeit basic. When you update the other person of your whereabouts, even to say you'll be busy for a couple of hours, you're putting someone at ease and creating a relationship of trust and respect. And if that isn't sexy, I really don't know what is. So this whole being unavailable and somebody coming behind you, I mean, why would you do that? How will you ever fall in love with a person that you're willing to do that to, you know? It's not sexy anymore. Maybe it was in early 2000s perhaps. So, you know, we keep hearing about toxicity and playing hard to get. And maybe it worked for a few people. I don't know. I don't even know where it came from. But honestly, niceness is back in fashion, is what I think. Dating tip number 2, the little things matter. It's not the most expensive, but the most thoughtful gestures that will always count. And we know this, we all know this, right? But somehow in modern relationships, we forget to implement it. Taking charge and planning a date, remembering a little detail like, hey, I saw strawberries on the way, thought you'd like it, so I got some for you. Or went to the temple today, got you a little box of prasad, here it's for you. Or I remember you told me you're a big fan of Mexican food. Guess what? Somebody told me about this Mexican place. Want to go there this weekend? We are in a world where everybody is independent. People are earning, largely living the lives that they want and on their own terms. And in that scenario, I think these smaller things are more important than ever. It's not like you can't afford that Mexican restaurant, or it's not like you can't afford a box of strawberries, but imagine somebody remembering that for you and then you doing the same for that person. Isn't it really so simple, so tiny, not time consuming? And why don't we just do this a lot more for each other? And it doesn't have to be just romantic relationships, just even otherwise, right? Between friends and colleagues. Dating tip number 3, make time even when you're busy. In fact, especially when you're busy. In a world of smartphones, WhatsApp, Instagram, Snapchat, and whatever else you might be on, when your partner says they didn't have the time for you because they were so busy, I just don't buy it. I really don't. One photo, one text, one meme shows that I'm thinking of you, and it literally takes a nanosecond. While you're in a meeting, while you're somebody's talking, you can just look down and do this, right? We do it all the time. When people are talking to us, you are looking into your phone. You will scroll through 5 Instagram reels, but not message that person one line saying, "Hey, thinking of you, busy, will call you back." Especially on a busy day, that one message saves hours of argument because it's just so simple. Explaining how busy you were later and how you didn't have 1 second to message, and then that leading to an argument of how you never have time. A short, sweet message saves everyone the heartache and also the time that you were trying to so dearly save in the first place. Just my dad always said this to me, and I understand this more than ever. He said, the quicker you respond, the lesser you have to respond. So whenever somebody is asking you for something, or somebody, even at work, if somebody needs a reply, the more you avoid it, your explanation later gets even more long-winded. If you just do it beforehand, even if it's to say that, hey, listen, I don't have an update for you right now, but I promise I'm working on it and I'll get back to you. It just saves everybody the trouble. And, you know, mostly, wo samne wala kabhi gussa nahi hoga. Agar aapne unko bata diya hai ki ye ye hai aur main busy hoon, they most likely will not be upset with you at all because you have let them know. So remember that. Dating tip number 4. Love language is fine, but find the right fight language. More than how you love, what you love, whether you like the same things or not, whether you're similar people or not, whether you listen to the same music or watch the same content or like the same shows on Netflix, I have learned none of that is important. More important than how you guys show up in a fight. I read somewhere about paper cuts in a relationship, and that really stayed with me because I think those little things that we like, arey chhodna acha jaane de, why do you keep bringing it up, let's put it behind us, but those little things that are said in anger, and you know, your actions in anger will never be logical, never be fair, but they will leave small wounds that grow and get bigger with time, and then it's a lot of work to, you know, to sort of heal them. For someone who sees red when angry, meaning me, I used to have a really major temper issue, and it still once in a while flares up where, you know, it's almost like there's blood in my brain. I cannot see logic. It takes a lot for me to not spew acid. But every time I'm angry, I think of the aftermath and the apologies and the undoing that is needed later when you say and do something caustic. So I use one trick. For people who have a child can use this, or whoever you love as much, you know, whether it's a parent or a sibling. So I use a trick that I think of how I react to my daughter Karam. Even when I'm so angry, I may yell for like 30 seconds, but I will never say anything damaging to her. And then I look at her tiny, innocent little face and big eyes, and sometimes like a tear in her eye, and then the anger just disappears in 40 seconds. Look at your partner with the same kind of love that you would, you know, for anybody else that in your family you love as much. And look at them in the darkest moment, and both together find a fight language that works for you. So you don't damage each other every time there's an argument, because arguments are inevitable. Whether you love each other, don't love each other, arguments will happen in any relationship, right? But it's how you decide to fight. Set some ground rules that, hey, you know, when I get upset, I need some space. Or when I get upset, I just need somebody to be calm in the moment. Like the other day, it happened in my office. I was just very irritable. I snapped at somebody. And he very kindly looked back and he just said, okay, I understand. When would you like to have this? We'll set a deadline now. Yes, we missed it, but we'll do it. So the minute he spoke to me so calmly, I started to feel stupid about being so irritable and speaking badly. And I calmed down too. So it took 3 seconds and a lot of maturity from him to kind of just calm me down. And I think it's a great trick to use even otherwise, even with your partner, that, you know, when somebody is being illogical or somebody just snaps at you, talks to you badly, your first thing is, even if it's your partner, you also want to talk back in that tone. But what if you take that pause and deep breath and be like, hey, looks like you're having a rough day, or hey, you know, I mean, I see that you're irritated, I see you're angry, but I really don't, you know, you're not talking very nicely to me. Can we relook at this, or can we redo this? And I'm almost 98% sure that this will be received positively. Dating tip number 5, and this is so important. Don't stop getting excited about your partner. It's so easy to be comfortable, and as human beings, we are wired like that. Once we get what we want, the laziness, the comfort, the complacency sets in. It takes effort to romance your partner, to put on the best dress, to still buy flowers, to want to fix up a date night, even though all you want to do is watch Netflix. But like anything else, like, you know, in the book Atomic Habits, I've read that the tiniest habits, the tiniest little things add up in the long run and give you big results. So I think doing these things, or, you know, keeping the excitement going, will give you a relationship of your dreams. I read about it, or I think it was a movie, I'm not sure, that all those needed more than just love. There was a purposeful intent, there was effort, there was work, you know, all those big stories, big love stories that we watch, what did they really finally show? That there was intent, there was effort, and there was always work in making a relationship what it is today. Getting up when you're super tired to just press her feet because she's had a long bad day, or to wake up at 4 a.m. because your boyfriend's leaving for his flight, and maybe he's just going for 2 days, but imagine you wake up with him and see him off at the door. It's a very little thing, but it shows that you care. It shows that excitement. It shows that, hey, it may be 2 days, but I'll really miss you. You know, if the excitement dies with it, the relationship will. And then that's when you start to seek those highs elsewhere. You want to flirt with other people. You want to feel that sense of excitement, that validation come from elsewhere, because you're not getting it in your relationship. Most of all, when there is so much love, all this work doesn't seem like work. Making a tiffin dabba is exhausting for mothers, but, you know, think of the joy on a child's face, like when Karam is going somewhere, there's a Christmas party. I'm very busy, I don't have the time, but I'll make sure that at least I'll get something, you know. I'll buy cupcakes, I'll Swiggy it. It's not like a big deal, it's not like I'm going and baking something, but I'll Swiggy some cupcakes and say, hey, I got this for your friends and teachers, take it to school tomorrow. Just a little sweet little thing makes everything worth it. You know, that big smile she'll give me, like, oh, mama, everybody loved the cupcakes. It is just so much, it is just unparalleled joy, and for very little effort, honestly. Life is, after all, a sum of these little things. Be a team, be each other's cheerleader, be each other's biggest fan. Defend them, defend your partner when they're not in the room. I see so many people, you know, making these girlfriend-boyfriend jokes. Haan, wo toh aise hi hai, we do our own thing, or just, you know, in the guise of humor, of course. But don't do that, especially when they're not in the room. Be crazy about them. Love is not to be attained and then forgotten. It's to be enjoyed every day. And once we understand that, all my tips are going to simply roll into one, that just show up every day to love. And that, my friends, is really sexy. Until next time, until my next podcast, please comment and let me know what else you would like to listen to, and I'd see if I can talk about that topic. And as promised, soon enough, I'm going to get some interesting, fun guests on the show as well, just to have more perspective and not just mine, and have a more wholesome conversation. Bye, guys.